Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kufta Zayin. We're on Kufta Zvav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, we learned on a Braisa. Vayihi ben Soya Ha'Oroin, Vayoyimer Moshe. The Pasuk describes the traveling of Kal Yisrael when the Oroin would travel. Vayoyimer Moshe, Kum Hashem, and there are two psukim there. The next pasuk begins with Ubenucha Yoimar. So these psukim describe the travels of the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Now there's something unusual here, because there's a symbol before and after these two psukim. Tana Rabbanan, Vayihi ben Soya Ha'Oroin, Vayoyimer Moshe, Parsha Zu, this chapter, meaning these two psukim, Asa la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simonios, Hashem applied for this parsha Simonios symbols, In a form of overturned nuns, upside down letter nun, milamala lamata, before the parsha, before these two psukim, there is one overturned nun, ulamata, and after, at the end, after these two psukim, there's another overturned nun. What is the indication here? What's the message? Loimar, to indicate she'ein zeh mekoima, this is not really the proper location for these two psukim, for this parsha, which describes the traveling of Klal Yisrael, which is not really being discussed here in this context of whatever is going on there in the parsha. So it's out of place. And really belongs back in the beginning of Bamidbar, which discusses the Golem, the encampment, the whole arrangement of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. That's really where this parsha, these two psukim, should be located, because they are describing the traveling of Klal Yisrael. So it's out of place, and that's why we have these two overturned nuns, one before, one after, to indicate that it's out of place. The Gemara soon will explain, indeed, why was it placed in this location. Rebbe, Omer lo min Hashem uzeh. This is not the reason for the nuns, because actually this is the proper location for this parsha, as Rashi explains, because beforehand, the Pasuk does describe the fact that they began traveling, so it is in place. Why then does it have these symbols? Elo mipnei sefer chashuv hu b'fnei atzmai. The pasuk is indicating this parsha, these two psukim, is a sefer chashuv, a significant book on its own. It's considered to be its own sefer. So according to Rebbe, sefer Bamidbar, which contains this parsha of Vayihi ben Soya Ha'Oroin, is actually split into three. So you have the sefer Bamidbar prior to Vayihi ben Soya, you have Vayihi ben Soya, which is its own sefer, then you have the remaining portion of Sefer Bamidbar, for a total of three svarim. Now we have a total, if so, of seven svarim of the Torah. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar is counted as three, and dvarim. Says the more, indeed, Keman Ozla, according to whose view does the following statement work? Keman Ozla Hod, Omar Shmuel Archimeni, Omar Yonason, Chotz Va'amudeo Shiva. This is speaking about the Chachma, the Torah. She carved out her beam, seven beams. Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah. These are the seven Sifrei Torah. Kiman, according to whose Shita is this working? Kirabi, who holds that there are seven Sifrei Sfarim in the Torah in total. Continues the Gemara. Man Tano, the Paligalei, the Rebbe. So who is the opposing view, the one that disagrees with Rebbe? The Tanakam of the Braisa, who maintains that the parsha is really out of place, and that's why there are those two overturned letters. Who is this Tana? What's the name of this Tana? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Tana, as we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, I see the parsha zu in the future. Rashi says in the future, when the Yetzirah will be dissolved, will be nullified, and there won't be any concern of a peronius about tragic events and retribution, einish. So in the future, I see the parsha zu shati oker mikan. This parsha will be uprooted from this location here, b'tikasiv b'mkayma, and it will be reinstated in its own place, in its proper location. V'lo makasva kan. Why? The Torah write it here. K'dei lahafsik bein peronus rishona l'peronus shniyah, in order to make that separation between the first tragic event, the first tragedy, retribution, oynish, and the second one. So this parsha is coming to dissect, to make that intersection, to make that separation between two tragic events. to set them apart, not to grant too much power to powers of evil, of Puranias. So that's the point of this location. Says the Gemara, what exactly are we speaking about? Puranas Shnia Mahi, what is the second Puranas? So the nation began their complaining about the lack of meat, and Hashem responded by giving them this love, and eventually there was an einish applied, a penalty. So this is the Puranas Shnia, which is stated after this parasha of Ahi ben Saya. And there's a Puranas beforehand as well. Puranas Rishoyna is Vayisum Har Hashem. The Pasuk says they traveled from the Har Hashem, from Har Sinai. V'amar Rav Chama Rachanina. So he makes a drasha instead of Vayisum Mehar Hashem, that it's like it would say Vayisum Me'achri Hashem. Shesoru, that they strayed Me'achri Hashem, from behind Hashem. They left Hashem. Rashi explains that actually the complaining, the rumbling about the lack of meat already began at that point. So that's the first tragic event. And the pasuk, the parsha of Ahi ben Sa'aron, is meant to come in between these two things, to separate them and to be mafsik, to put them up, to separate them apart. Now Tosfos actually learns that the Puranas Rishoyna is something else. Tosfos brings a medrash that they left Har Sinai ketinai kayoitzim beis ha-sefer shibereach levahoylecha. It's as if they were fleeing from Har Sinai. It was too the burden was too much Torah. So that was the Puranas, that was the tragic event which the Gemara here is referring to. So we have a machlokes regarding the purpose, the message of the symbolism of the two overturned letters, one before and one after this parsha of Ahi ben Sa'aron. According to Rebbe, it's meant to indicate that this is considered to be its own sefer. And therefore, we have a total of 7 Sfarim of Torah, according to the Tanakhama, who turns out to be Rav Shimon Gamliel. The point is simply to intersect between two tragic events, two Puranias, two punishments, and really, it doesn't belong here. It belongs back in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, and eventually when the Yetzirah will be bottled, there will be no concern about empowering the power of Yetzirah and Puranas. Indeed, this parsha will be relocated to its proper location. Continues the Gemara, Ve'echem Mekayim, indeed, where is its proper location? Amar of Ashi, Bid Golim, back in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, which describes the encampment, the Golim, the flags, the whole arrangement, and that's where this parsha is meant to be, which is also a similar topic, a similar concept, the traveling of the Yisrael in the Midbar. Continues the Gemara, Iboilu, so the Bnei Beis HaMedrash had the following question. We discussed the allowance to save Kisvei HaKodesh from a fire on Shabbos. There's no concern that in his haste, perhaps he will put out the fire. Now, that's regarding the actual Kisvei HaKodesh. Iboilu, HaGilyoinen, shall save a Torah. What about the Gilyoinen, the parchment, which are clean, which are free of content of writing? So Rashi explains, at this point in the Gemara, the Gulyoinen are referring to the margins, the empty margins on top and on bottom, for instance. And also, if the writing, the wording of the Sefer Torah went missing, it got erased, etc., and all we're left with is an empty, clear parchment. So what is the halacha about those Gulyoinen? HaGulyoinen shel Sefer Torah, ma'atzil n'oisam ne'adleika? May one save them from a fire? Do they have Kedusha like a Kisvei HaKodesh? Or perhaps not. One may not save them from a fire. They are not regarded as Kisvei HaKodesh since they're blank and free of any content. Says more Toshma, come and hear a raya from the following brice. Sefer Torah Shabala. So if one has a Sefer Torah which wore out, im yesh bo lelaket shmoinim v'chamesh oisei. So we discussed this in yesterday's blot. If there are enough words there, enough letters which total 85, if you can go and gather together a total of 85 letters, kegoin parshas vayhi ben Sa'aron, which are the same, which equal the total of the letters contained in this parsha we just began with, the parsha vayhi ben Sa'aron, which as we learned is considered to be its own entity, and contains 85 letters. So this is the number, the minimum requirement to be considered a sefer, to have the Sefer Torah retained its original status, original Kedusha. So if there were 85 letters present, Matzilin, one may save the Sefer Torah from a flame, from a fire. V'imlav, but otherwise, if it doesn't have 85 in total, a Matzilin, one may not save the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. One second, what happened to the blank parchment? V'amai, why can't he save the Sefer Torah, which wore out, typically, Mishum Gilyon. Let him go save it on account of the blank parchment. Typically, Mishum Gilyon did they? What about its blank parchment? So apparently, the Gilyon is not something which may be saved from a fire. So the Bala Shani was speaking about the Sefer Torah, which wore out. Then even the parchment is reckoned no longer because it's worn out. Says the Gemara Toshma, come and hear a raya from the next brice. Sefer Torah shenimchak. So this Sefer Torah didn't get worn out. It merely had its content erased. So the Sefer Torah shenimchak, the wording got erased. Im yesh b'ilakech shmanim v'chamesh oisyos. If there is still enough content intact, we have 85 letters, kigoin parshas, ibn sa'arain, which equal the letters in that parsha, matzilin, one may save the Sefer Torah from a fire. V'im lav, but otherwise, if it doesn't total 85, a matzilin, one may not save the Sefer Torah from fire on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. Here we're speaking about a Sefer Torah which didn't wear out. The letters merely got erased. If so, v'amai, why can't he save the Sefer Torah, which does not have 85 letters? Tevigle mishum gilyon didei. Why can't he go ahead and save it on account of its blank parchment? So blank parchment is reckoned with. Here, he should save the Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Mokam Aksav, Lokim Ebayli. You must understand, when I asked this question regarding blank parchment, I was not referring to the Mokam Aksav, the parchment underneath the letters, the parchment which is meant to contain writing. Why? Dichi Kaddish, because that parchment, when it is sanctified, when it has Kedusha, Agav Ksav with the Kaddish. The reason why it's Kaddish is on account of the writing which is contained on it. It's not an independent entity. It's meant to contain writing, contain Ksav. Therefore, Ozal Ksav. So if the Ksav departed, got erased. Ozal Kdushase. The Kdusha of the parchment underneath it departed as well. I was ever discussing parchment which used to have writing on it, where the Kedusha there was with the intent to have something written on it. It's subordinate to the written word which is meant to be on it. So if the word is gone, the Kedusha of the Gilyon is gone as well. What I was referring to in my question was, Kikim Ebayli, what did I ask about? Shalmala v'shalmata, the empty margin is on top of the page, on bottom, Shemein Parsha l'Parsha, between the two chapters, Shemein Daf l'Daf, between the columns, Shebetchilas ha-Sefer, Shebetchilas ha-Sefer, beginning at the end of the Sefer, those are meant to remain empty. Not meant to contain any writing. So the question there is, whether they are reckoned with, whether they have chashivas and kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh regarding a fire. Let's take a look at Rashi inside here. Rashi here is off to the right, 24 lines from the top. Beginning with the words, Mokem Aksav. Okay, Mokem Aksav. Shenimchak. So the Mokem of the Ksav that got erased. Loimi Boili. It's not what I was asking about. The Vade Megergar, certainly, it's worse off. Why? Dechi Kaddish Meikara. Because when that parchment achieved its Kedusha, initially, Lav L'Shem Gilyon Chol HaKaddish, it wasn't sanctified for the purpose of remaining clean and empty. Ela Daita D'Ksav. It was only Kaddish. It became Kaddish with the intention of having Ksav written on it. V'kiv the Azle Ksav. And once the Ksav departs, since the Ksav departed, then it as well lost its Kedusha. So this parchment is subordinate to the writing on it. So when the Ksav is gone, the Kedusha of the parchment certainly dissipates as well. My question was, Shalmata Lomata, says Rashi, on top and on bottom, the Metchil L'Shem Chol HaKadosh, which initially became Kaddish in order to remain clean and empty, clear. V'ashta K'shenimcha Ksav HaSefer. And now, even when the Ksav of the Sefer went and was erased, Nami Choloku. Now as well, Shenim Shalom Tehu, Nami Choloku. This margin is still clean and empty. It's clear. And therefore, it never changed status. It was always clear. It was meant to remain clean. So perhaps, does it have its own Kedusha? And may one save it from a Dleik on Shabbos? Says the Gemara. This is on the third wide line. Says the Gemara, but typically, Mishimahu. Now, let's bring the following riot. Because once again, the Braisa tells us that if the lettering got erased, there's no 85 letters, he cannot say the Sefer Torah from a fire. Now, why not? What about the margins? V'tepikli mishimahu. There are margins on top and on bottom, which were never intended to have writing on them. So apparently, the Braisa seems to be telling us that those margins don't have a din of Kisvei HaKodesh, because otherwise, why can't he save the Sefer Torah on account of its margins? Says the Gemara, the guys were shot. They were speaking about margins that were cut off and thrown away, and they aren't present. They're not there. That's the case in the Braisa. Therefore, we have no riot from this Braisa regarding our question. Toshma, come and listen to a riot from the following Braisa. Hagil yoinin shel malav shel mat. Those margins, top and bottom, Shebein Parsha le Parsha, between 21 Parsha and the next, Shebein Daf le Daf, between one column and the next, Shebein Tchilas HaSefer, Shebein Sefer HaSefer, whether the margin from the beginning of the Sefer or the one at the end of the Sefer. So those empty portions, Metam and Aseyedayim, they have the ability to give over Tumah, transfer Tumah to one's hands who touches those empty spots. They are regarded in the same status as the Kisvei HaKodesh, where the Chacham made a gzera. We learned this earlier in Maseches Shabbos, that the Kisvei HaKodesh are metam is one's hands and make them into a sheinu tumah. He can go ahead and disqualify truma when he touches the truma with those hands that touch the Kisvei HaKodesh. Why was this gzera enacted on concern for the damage that was happening to the Sfarim by being attacked by mice? Because people were hiding, putting the truma next to the Kisvei HaKodesh, the mice that would come and eat the truma would actually attack the Sfarim. In order to discourage people from this practice, Chacham said, well, the Kisvei HaKodesh are metame in one's hands with regard to truma. So the Braisa here tells us that not only the written portion, but even the empty margins have the same ability to metame in one's hands. So we see that they are considered to be Kisvei HaKodesh as well. Says the Gemara, Dilma Agav Sefer Torah Shani. Perhaps here it's different because they weren't cut off. They're not independent margins. They're sitting with the Sefer Torah. They're attached to Sefer Torah. So perhaps the fact that they're attached to Sefer Torah, Agav Sefer Torah Shani, that's different because they're bottled to the Sefer Torah. Certainly in this case, they are regarded as part of the Kisvei HaKodesh and can go ahead and par Tuma. Our question was regarding those margins which were separated from the Sefer Torah, for instance, a Sefer Torah which was erased, and there's no more written portion. All we're left is with those margins. But if they're connected to an existing Sefer Torah, certainly they will have the same din as the Sefer Torah. Toshma, come and listen to the following right. Hagil Yoinin, margins of Sefer Minim, and Sfarim that were written by Minim, these are Jews that were that adopted of a Zohar views. So these things, Eim Atzil and Oismi Adleika, one may not save them from a fire on Shabbos, Elon Ashrefim Mem Kaiman, so he just leaves them as is and lets them burn, allows them to be consumed by fire. Hein, Vaskaris Seim, them, and the Askaris, the mentionings of Hashem contained therein. So the Braisa says, Hagil Yoinen, V'Sifrei Minim. My love. Doesn't the Braisa mean to say, Gil Yoinen, the Sefer Torah? The Braisa is speaking about two things. The margins of a Sefer Torah, that's number one. And number two, the Sefer Minim. They're not meant to be safe from a fire on Shabbos. See how we have clarity on our question? Says Gemara Loi. Gil Yoina Sefer Minim. The Braisa is speaking about those Sefer Minim, written by those idol worshippers, and the Gil Yoina of the Sefer Minim. Says the Gemara, why does the Braisa need to list both things? Hash the Sefer Minim Gufayim. Now if you tell me that the actual Sefer HaKodesh of the Minim, the actual Sfarim, Eimatzilin, are not allowed to be saved from the fire. Gil Yoinim Ibayah, do you need to inform me regarding the margins? If the Sefer itself is not reckoned with, certainly the margins of those Sfarim, so why does the Braisa need to list them as two? Hachikamar. Says more, this is what the Braita means to say. V'sifrei minin harihen kugul yoinim. The sfarim that are written by minim have no value. One doesn't say them. They are like, they are equivalent, they are equated to. Like gul yoinim, like merely mere empty pieces of parchment. They are not considered to be kesviya kodesh. One doesn't say them. One just lets them be consumed by fire. So the Braita is not discussing the margins of a legitimate kesviya kodesh, such as an hour question. So in summary, we had a shaila regarding saving gilyoinim margins. The Gemara tells us, well, it depends. If we're speaking about a sefer Torah which wore out, then even the margins are not reckoned with because everything got worn out. And the Sefer Torah, which doesn't have those 85 letters, and doesn't have a status of the Kisvei HaKodesh, then the margins as well are not reckoned with. The Gemara told us as well that the Mokem HaKsav Shenimchak, so the parchment which was meant to contain the written portion, and that written portion got erased. The parchment of the Nisit is no longer reckoned with, because the whole Kedusha of that parchment was in order to contain, to feature on it, the writing. So if the writing is gone, then the Kedusha, the parchment, departs as well. The Gemara told us that the margins, which are attached to an existing Sefer Torah, certainly, they have Kedusha like the Sefer Torah. The question was, regarding the empty margins themselves, which are not part of an existing Sefer Torah. For instance, Sefer Torah, which was completely erased. So those Gilyonis, those margins, do they have their own independent Kedusha? And therefore one may save them from a fire on Shabbos or not. The Gemara seems to leave it undefined and inconclusive. Says the Gemara Gufa, we just learned. So we're not meant to save the Sifrei Minim, not allowed to save them from fire on Shabbos or Beis Yoimer B'choil during the week. How does he relate to these things? Koyder, Haskar, Shabbam, he cuts out the names of Hashem contained in this Sifrei Minim. He goes them, and he goes and he hides them, or he buries them, for instance, because they have Kedusha V'ashar, and the rest of the Sefer, Sefer, and he burns them. But the names of Hashem still have Kedusha. One is meant to bore them out and be goinis them. Amar of Tarfon, he disagreed vehemently. He said the entire thing is meant to go and get burnt. And he said like this, Akapeach es bonai, I should cut off my children, I should bury my children. This is a very severe expression to highlight his opposition to the to Rabbi Yossi's Shita. He says, well, I should suffer the consequences, I should bury my children if what I'm saying is not true. So this was just to prove just to prove his point. He says, Akapeach es bonai shim yavoy liyodai shani esref oisam. If these things will come to me, I'm going to burn them, v'ez askoris shabhem, them and the askoris contained therein. He holds that apparently the askoris, even the Shemus Hashem written in these Sefer Minim, are not reckoned with, they're not properly written, they don't have the proper Kedusha, they're meant to be burnt together with the entire Sefer. And he continued to say, Ashafilu Odom Roidev Achrov, even if one is pursuing him, Lohargoy, to kill him. This is a euphemism. He's speaking in third person. He's really referring to himself. Even if I encounter a situation, a dangerous situation, if one is pursuing to kill me, v'nochash ros lakishay, or a snake is running after him to bite him, nichnas l'beis avodah zarah, he's meant to go into a beis avodah zarah, v'ein nichnas l'batayim shel'elu. As long as he doesn't go into the homes of these fellows. So going into a true beis avodah zarah of non-Jews, it's preferred over going into the homes of these minim, of these Jews who believe in Avodah Zarah. Why? Shalolu? Because these fellows, these minim, makirim, they're aware of Hashem, v'koyfrim, nevertheless, they choose to deny. V'halolu, but these goyim, ain't makirim v'koyfrim, they're not aware and deny, meaning they're merely carrying on the tradition of their family, what they were taught. They're not doing it deliberately, like these minim. On these fellows, on these minim, the pasuk describes and says, "Va'achara delas v'mezuzah, behind the doorway and the post, samt zichroinich, you've placed your memory." Meaning, you're fully aware about Hashem and His presence, and you've cast that memory aside behind the doorway, you've chosen to ignore it. Amar Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel will highlight Rabbi Tarfon's approach that one is meant to burn the entire Sefer, including the names of Hashem mentioned therein. Says Rabbi Shmuel Kavachim. Let's employ Kavachim. Uma lase sholim ben ish l'ishtay. If we see that in order to achieve, to accomplish shalom between husband and wife, this is the case of a saita, a woman who was accused of straying from her husband. So the procedure, they will take the water, they make the mayim amarim, and give it to drink. Now in that water was rubbed in the shame of Hashem. They took the parsha of saita, which they wrote on the parchment, and they rubbed it into the water. So the name of Hashem was erased in order to achieve shalom in a Jewish home. If in order to achieve that, Amra Torah, the Torah said, Shmi Shenichta V'Kedusha, my name that was written with holiness, Yimach HaLamayim, will be erased on water. Halalu, these individuals, Shematilin Kina, that they bring about jealousy, Ve'eva, and enmity, Ve'sachris, and dissension between Yisrael, Avin Shashamayim. They cause all this tragedy to happen. Achas kam v'kama, certainly one is meant to go ahead and burn their sperm with the Shem Hashem contained therein. This will be a sign of protest and negation to them and their positions. V'aleim amar David, and on them, David HaMelech said, Haloi mesanecha Hashem esna, Hashem mesanecha Hashem esna, your haters, I hate ubiskayim mecha eskoytot, and the ones who stand up against you, I will fight. Tachlis sina sinasim, extreme hatred. I hate them. Lo'ayim hayuli, they are my enemies. Ukeshem shem atziloisim adleika, just as one does not rescue the sifrei minim from a fire on Shabbos. Kachem atziloisim loim ha'apilis. Likewise, one does not save them from a collapsed building. V'leim menamayim, nor from water. V'leim medavar ma'abdon. If anything else that is causing them destruction, so one just leaves them and does not save them at all. Continues the Gemara, Boimine, Rav Yosef bar Chanan, Rav Avo. So he asks the following question of Rav Avo. Hani Sifrei de Bei Avidan. So Rashi explains that Bei Avidan was this place where they would conduct debates. So the non-Jews would debate Jews with matters of philosophy. So it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. So the question is that the Sfarim, these books that the Goyim used to write down their notations to prepare themselves for the debates, which apparently contained matters of Kedusha as well. So Hani Sifri, the Vei Avidan, Ma'atzil No'isam Na'atleika, Oyei Ma'atzil, can one save them from a fire on Shabbos or not? So he wasn't sure. He said, In, yes, V'lav, no. He wasn't sure. Yes, no, V'rafi B'yoda, he was loose in his hands. He wasn't clear about this matter. Continues the Gemara, Rav, Loi Ozel, Levei Avidan. He didn't go to those places of debate. The Koshken is certainly Levei Nitzifi, to this Avodah Zarah home, this place of idol worship, Levei Nitzifi. So he didn't go to the debate, and certainly not to the Avodah Zarah's home. Shmuel, on the other hand, Levei Nitzifi, Loi Ozel, he didn't go to the this building of idol worship. Levei Avidan Ozel, but he would go to the debating arena. Amar Leil Rav. So the fellows, the non-Jews that used to debate, they were wondering why Rav wouldn't come. So they told Rav, Amar Leil Rav, my time in the Osos Levi Avidan, why don't you come? Why aren't you present at those debates? Why don't you come join the fun? Amar Lehu. So he tried to push them off and avoid. He said, Tikla Plani Ikaburcha, there's a certain palm tree on the way, Bukashili, and it's difficult for me to pass. The roots grow high and it's hard for me to get through. Niakri. So they offered, they said, you know what? We'll pull it out. This way, it could come, no problem. So he responded, Duchte Kashili, its place is difficult for me, meaning the pit, which will result upon pulling out the tree, will make it difficult for me to pass. So he was simply trying to avoid and push them off. Ma bar Yosef Amar, he said as follows, Ano, minayano, I'm one of theirs, I'm an acquaintance of theirs. I'm not concerned, not afraid of them. However, says the Gemara Zimna Chada, actually one time Azel, he went to the debates, and indeed it resulted this time in his life being put besakana in danger, boluskune, they wanted to harm him, to kill him. And indeed Rashi explains that for this very reason, Rav and Rava mentioned earlier, refrained, avoided attending these events, these debates, due to the frenzied nature of these events. They were concerned that perhaps their opponents would gang up on them, harm them, and kill them. So they avoided attending these events altogether. Continues the Gemara. Ima Shalom, this was the name of this woman, Ima Shalom, Dvisu, Rabbi Elazar. She was the wife of Rabbi Elazar. Achsei, to Rabbi Gamliel Havoi. She was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Says the Gemara, Havahu, Philosopha, there was this fellow, this philosopher. Now this actually says that the word philosophos in Greek means dun ha-chachma, a vat of wisdom of knowledge. That's the root of the word philosopha. So there was this ahu philosopha b'shevusay, there was this philosopher that lived in the neighborhood of Rav Gamliel. Davashokal Shema, who had this, established for himself a reputation, the loy makabel sheikh, that he doesn't take any bribes. So he conducts his court cases with integrity and honesty. He doesn't take bribes. Bo lachuchebe. So Ima Sholem and her brother, Rav Gamliel, wanted to ridicule him. They wanted to expose the true nature of this fellow. So they did as follows. A'ailele shraga de dahava. So first, she, Ima Sholem, brought him and granted him a real good bribe. Shraga de dahava, a golden candelabra. Either they both went together or she went to herself, depending on the girsum. So they went and presented their case to him, and they said as follows. Amrle. So she told him, after she bribed him, she said, Baina de Nifligali, I would like that they grant me a portion in the inheritance of my father's inheritance. Amrlehu. So this fellow, this honest judge, he said, Amalu plugu, yeah, you should go ahead and give her a portion in the inheritance. Amalu, so Amalu challenged, he said, Ksivlon, in our Torah, Ksivlon by Rice, in our Torah it says, V'makayim bra, when there is a son there, in the presence of a son, brata leiteris, when there's a son around, barta, a daughter leiteris, she does not inherit, she doesn't have schusim, she doesn't have rights. This fellow told Rav Gamliel, "Min yoyma de galisum arachan." From that day that you've gone into galus, you've been exiled from your land, you should know there was a change, a transformation that took place. Is natalis a rise of the Moshe? So the Torah of Moshe was removed, taken away. V'siyahiva safrachriti, and instead it was substituted. A different sefer was given. Uksibre, and that new sefer, it says, "Bro brata." That a son and daughter have equal rights when it comes to Nachla. Bro Barta Kichada Yerson. Therefore, you meant to give her a portion of the Yerusha. This was phase one of their litigation. Lemacher, to the following day, Hadar Ayel Le'il. So now it was Rav Gamliel's turn to bribe him. So now he, Hadar Ayel Le'il. So he followed by bringing him in a very significant bribe, Chamra Luba, a Libyan, high quality, Chamra Luba, a Libyan donkey. Now the judge was bribed from the other party, so now he decided to reopen the case, reconvene the court. So he said like this, Omar Luz, he says, look, I delved into the matter further, and it seems like we must overturn the previous verdict. Shvilis el Seifi the Safra, I've gone ahead and learned to taken a look at the end of the next portion of the of that Sefer that I was referring to yesterday, and at the end of that Sefer it says, V'kasavei, it says, there's a disclaimer there. It says, Ano loy lemifchas min arayis de Moshe asisi. I'm not coming to detract from the Torah of Moshe. I'm not coming to add to the Torah of Moshe. And the apparently, this Sefer is not meant to substitute, to take the place of Teres Moshe. So as a result of this new information that I gleaned, I have a little problem. Because what does it say in Teres Moshe? Ksivbe, in the Torah of Moshe it says, V'mokayim bra, batalei seiros. When there's a son around, a daughter has no rights, has no inheritance. Therefore, apparently Gamliel is actually right. Amrulei. So now they began ridiculing him. So Ima Shalom turned to him and said, Nahir, Nahirach Kishraga. She meant to hint to him, don't you remember I gave you that candelabra? Nahir, Nahirach. Your light should light up like a shraga, like a candelabra. What happened to you? Why are you ruling in favor of my opponent? Amrulei Gamliel. So now Gamliel turned to him and said, Asa Chamra, a donkey came. Ubatash Lishraga, the donkey came and kicked over the candelabra. Meaning, I gave him a greater gift. And therefore, the table is turned. So now they expose the true nature of this fellow and how honest he really was. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah told us that one is not meant to read from Ksuvim on Shabbos. And Mishnah gave us a reason. Why? In my inquiry, because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash, we're concerned that it may interfere with the attendance of the Drash and Beis HaMedrash, which was deemed more important than learning Ksuvim. Amarav, lo yishanu. This is only said, this is only a concern when? El bizman Beis HaMedrash. During the time of the Drasha. It's not meant to interfere with the Drasha. So during the time that speech took place, one is not meant to learn Ksuvim. Avo shaloi bizman Beis HaMedrash. But later on in the day, which is already past the time of the Drasha, there's no concern, Kairin. They may read Ksuvim without any concern. Ushmol amar afilu biloi. Shaloi bizman Beis HaMedrash. Ain't Kairin even. After the time of the drasha passed, one may not read in Ksuvim. Says one, is that so? Any? Is that so? That Shmuel prohibits throughout the entire day. V'hanardo aser de Shmuel ava. Nardo, which was the place of Shmuel's residence, and followed his psak, his rulings. And what did they do there? Ubenardo paski sidra b'ksuvim. In Nardo itself, they would read the portions of Ksuvim b'minchas of the Shabbat. During Shabbos by Mincha. So apparently, if it's late in the afternoon, it's okay. So, this seems to contradict our presentation of Shmuel's opinion, who seems to say that one may not read Ksuvim the entire day. It says, Ma'ela, I itmar, if we have a dispute, do not Shmuel hachi itmar. This is the proper version of their discussion. Amar Rav Leishanu, this is only concerned El B'makam Beis HaMedrash. Only B'makam Beis HaMedrash, meaning the place of the Beis HaMedrash where the Chacham does his drasha. That's where we're concerned about interference. Avo shloi b'makam Beis HaMedrash, current, but outside the Beis HaMedrash, not in that place, it's okay, because since it's in a different location, it's not deemed to be a interference to the drasha. So this is Rav's opinion. Ushmol amar, location is irrelevant. Bein b'makam Beis HaMedrash, ubein shloi b'makam Beis HaMedrash, one may not read. But that's provided, bizman, Beis HaMedrash, ain't kirin. So during the time of the drasha, when it can interfere and prevent one from going to the drasha, one may not read, whether he's actually at the location or at a different location. Shaloi bizman Beis HaMedrash, kirin. But in a different time, when it's already past the drasha time, one may read. So location is not the issue here, but it's the timing. And indeed, v'azah Shmuel tameh, Shmuel is consistent with his opinion. The Nardo, because in the place of Shmuel Nardo, Paski Sirda the Ksuvim. They would read the chapters of Ksuvim, Ben Chasa Shabbat. Why? Because it was after the time of the Drasha already passed. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar, Lo'ilam Kedamar Mikara. Truthfully, we meant to go back to our initial version. But Rav said that the Yisra only pertains during the Zman Beis HaMedrash. And Shmuel said, the entire day is Asur in reading of Ksuvim. Ushmuel Karnechemya. Shmuel is merely presenting a different shita, the view of Rabbi Nechemya, meaning the Tana of our Mishnah has one approach to the Issa of Ksuvim. The reason being for concern of interference of the attendance of the Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, according to that, based on that reason, the Issa only applies to the Zman of the Beis HaMedrash, as Rav presented. Shmuel doesn't disagree with that. Shmuel certainly agrees that according to our Tan, according to the Chacham, in our Mishnah, where the reason, the concern is for interference of a drasha. And certainly this concern only applies during the Zman Beis HaMedrash. When Shmuel tells us that the Isra applies throughout the entire day, he's merely presenting an opposing view, a different sheet of Ramachemya. Now he himself doesn't agree with Ramachemya. He certainly follows the Chachamim, who base their concern about on the drasha, as we find that in the place of Shmuel Nador, they would actually read Ksuv later on in the day when it didn't interfere. It wasn't deemed to be an interference of the drasha. But when Shmuel presents the Isser as though it applies the entire day, he is simply presenting the Shita of Rav Nechemya, who holds indeed that the Isser of Ksuvim applies throughout the entire Shabbos because it is based on a different reason, a different concern altogether. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Rav Nechemya, the Sani has written in the Brice, Afa Bisha Amru, Kisvi HaKadosh Ein Karbem, although we said that one may not read these Kisvei HaKodesh, Alo Shoyinu Behem, but nevertheless one may go ahead and learn orally, Baal Peh, Rashi says, Kigoin Midrash, Hashim, Kehelis, so you can go ahead and learn Baal Peh. V'doishim Behem, one may go ahead and present a drasha based on the Ksuvim. So as long as he does it orally, Baal Peh, it's okay. Nitzach Lav Pasuk. Now if this person in the middle of the drasha needs to look up a Pasuk, he can do so. Maybe V'roi, but he can bring the Ksuvim, take a look, and find this pasuk. As long as it doesn't actually dwell and learn the ksuvim inside. Why? What's the difference? Avraham Nechemya. V'pei ma omru kisvei HaKadosh ein korbem. What is the reason for this issue? Kadei sheyaimru. So that the public will say, they would glean from this, b'kisvei HaKadosh ein korbem. If one is not meant to read the kisvei HaKadosh, certainly v'kosh kei mishtarei diyotis, and certainly one is not meant to read ordinary documents, business documents. So this is the reason for the Isser, not to highlight the restriction of reading Shtori Deutis on Shabbos. David Chacham presented this limitation, this restriction of Kisvei HaKadosh to highlight, to send that message to the general population. You have to be careful what you read on Shabbos. Don't get involved in reading business documents. So in summary, regarding the halacha of Ein Koren B'Ksuvim on Shabbos, we have two approaches. According to Al Mishnah, according to the Chachamim, the reason is because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash. As Gemara tells us, this only applies Bizman Beis HaMedrash, during the time of the Drasha. According to Rechemi's approach, the reason is for concern that one may read Shtori HaDiyotis, business documents. If so, the Isser is not limited to one time or another, rather applies throughout the entire Shabbos equally. Continues the Mishnah. Matzilin Tika Sefer Ima Sefer. One may go ahead and save the container of the sefer of the Kisvei HaKadosh together with the sefer. So when he's saving the sefer, he can go ahead and take the container with it. Because it's part of it, it's bottled to it, it's secondary to it, and therefore it goes together. Likewise, if it's tikat film, matfilm, the container of the film together with the film, va'af alpi, here comes the chiddush, af alpi sheyesh b'seichem mois, even though there's some money in this container, he can bring it along all at once. Concludes the Mishnah, Leicha Matzil Noisen. Where can you go ahead and bring the Kisvei HaKadosh? L'mavish enim afulush. You can bring it to an alleyway which is not open from both sides. It's actually protected and enclosed on three sides. You can even bring it to a mavish enim afulush which is open from two sides, as the Gemara will explain in detail. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu Menoitan Abraisa. We're going to have a machlekes, which is actually related to the discussion now in Mishnah. The Brisa says, "Arba'asar shecholis b'Shabbos." If the 14th day of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, which is Erev Pesach, a time to bring the Korban Pesach, if it falls out on Shabbos, then we know that one may bring the Korban Pesach even on Shabbos. So although it involves malachis, we learn from a pasuk that it is Deicha Shabbos, and one can go ahead and do it on Shabbos. Now, what about flaying? What about removing the skin of the Korban Pesach? That's not really pertinent for the akrova of the Korban Pesach. Says the Braisa, Arbosor shecholis b'Shabbos, mafshitim es ha-Pesach, adachaza. One may skin, remove the hide, one may flay the Korban, but only adachaza until its chest, to provide access for the imurim, those parts, those fats that are meant to be extracted from the Korban, and offered on the Mizbeach. So it's part of the Korban, it's necessary for the akrova. Divrei b'shmol, Bnoi Shabbichan Brik. So he maintains that only partial flaying is permitted. There's no problem. He can go ahead and remove the entire skin of the entire carbon. Says the Gemara. Bishleima, the Rabbi Shmuel ben Yishai b'Recha b'Breika. We understand his view that only partial skinning is allowed. Why? Because the heter is simply for the sake of the carbon. The Hayis Aved leTzarek Avaya. Because once he gets to that point, to the chest, he has already done Tzarek Avaya. The higher calling, the spiritual needs were already met. Because he has full access to the Emurim, which allows him to bring the carbon properly. But more than that, it's not allowed. Elo l'Rabbanan my time. But according to the Rabban who allow flaying the entire carbon, moving the entire skin, why? What's the reason for this? Amar Rabba v'Rachan Rav Yechonon d'Amakra. Because the Pasuk says, Koil Paul Hashem l'Amaneu. So everything Hashem created was l'Amaneu for His covenant, so that we recognize Him, get close to Him. Everything in this world has a purpose. Everything a person does is meant to lead to that goal. So here as well, one may skin the entire carbon because it's being done for the goal of a good goal, a good purpose for Hashem. Says Gemara, how? In which way? In which way is it serving a higher purpose? Says Gemara, two approaches. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Shalai Asriach. It prevents the flesh from spoiling. So by removing the skin, the meat of the carbon will be exposed to the air, and it will lessen the chances of it getting spoiled. So by doing so, he's maintaining the honor, the covet, the respect for the carbon. Therefore, it's allowed. Even entire flaying is allowed. Rav Amar, a different approach. Shelo yu kachei shamayim. So that the kachei shamayim, the carbon, should not be mutom, kinevela, lying like a nevela, like a dead animal. So leaving it there as is with his skin on it, it looks like a nevela. It's not covered for the carbon. Therefore, one may go ahead and remove the entire skin. So this is l'maneh for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of maintaining respect for the carbon. Says Mark, okay, we have two reasons. My binayu. What is between them? Meaning, is there any halachic difference between these two reasons? Ikir binayu, yes, there is a difference. The monach absurd the dahava. Let's say the carbon was sitting on a golden table, in which doesn't appear like an avela, like an ordinary dead animal. It looks unique, it looks special. So according to Rava, there's no concern here because it doesn't look like an avela. Whereas according to Rav Yosef, the concern is spoiling. In this case as well, he may remove the skin. Inami, alternatively, yoyim de istana, if it's a pleasant day with a northerly wind present, in which there's no concern of the flesh spoiling. So according to Rav Yosef, who gives us the reason of flesh spoiling, in this case, there's no reason and there's no heter to skin the complete Karban Pesach. Whereas according to Rava, even on such a day, one may go ahead and complete the flaying. Continues the Gemara. For Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shabrechem b'roika, hi kol poil Hashem lama aneu. This pasuk, my avile. What does he do with the pasuk, which indicates that one is meant to do everything for the sake of Hashem? How does he apply this pasuk to our topic, to the discussion of skinning the Karban Pesach? Says the Gemara, actually, it is based on this pasuk that he holds that one is meant to at least partially flay the Karban Pesach. Why? Shelo yoytzi emurim. We learn from this pasuk that one is not meant to go ahead and remove the emurim, the innards, those fats which he's taking out to bring on the mizbeach. He's not meant to do that. He's not meant to take them out koydem afshatas or prior to partially removing the skin of the animal to make room, to make way for unobstructed access to the emurim. So this is actually extracted from this pasuk of koypar Hashem l'maneu. One is meant to maintain dignity and respect for Hashem's carbon. And therefore, he should remove the skin up until the chest, which will give him unobstructed access to the emur. Says Gemara, what's the connection? What does removing the skin have to do with the emur in my time? What is the reason? What is the connection? Amar avhunar b'edav nasan mishum neiman. On account of concern of neiman, of these wolf fibers, which are present on the skin, on the outside of the carbon. So when he'll go and pull out the emur, we're concerned that the fibers will get attached himself to the fats, to the emurim, and it's disrespectful for the carbon of Hashem. Therefore, it is precisely based on this pasuk, which tells us one is meant to treat the carbon with respect, that indeed he's required to partially flay the animal to make room for access to the emurim in which we'll be able to go ahead and pull them out without any concern of rubbing with those fibers and getting them dirty. So in summary, we learned about being mafshit, flaying, skinning, ikar Pesach, even on Shabbos. We have two shittas. According to Rishmol, B'nai Shem Rechem Breikim, only partial flaying is allowed, ad achaz until the chest, in order to provide access to the Emurim. So once he gets to the chaz, the tzarech gevaya, the heavenly needs were already met, because he can go ahead and freely access the Emurim, have them come out clean. According to Rabbanon, he's meant to go ahead and remove the entire skin of the carbon. We have two reasons. According to Rav Yosef, out of concern for the flesh spoiling. The Gemara tells us if it's a pleasant day with no concern, then it's also according to Rav Yosef. According to Rav, the reason is so that the carbon shouldn't look like an avail, like a dead animal. The Gemara tells us if it's sitting on lying on a golden table, which indicates that this is something special, this is a carbon, there's no concern, and one may not complete the skinning process. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the psukim of Ayhi ben Soya Oren, which have something unique, an overturned nun beforehand, an overturned nun afterwards. It's meant to indicate one of two things. We have two shittas. According to Shum Gamliel, it indicates to us that this parasha is out of place, out of order. It's really meant to be back in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, which discusses the camps of the Dgolim. And this belongs there. Why was it placed right here? To be mafsik between two misfortunes, two tragedies. According to Rebbe, it actually belongs right here. The reason why there are two nuns is meant to indicate that this is a separate parsha on its own, a separate book on its own, thereby giving us a total of seven sfarim for the entire Torah. We proceeded with the question of Gilyoinin. Well, may one save those blank pieces of parchment? The Gemara tells us if the Sefer Torah wore out, bala, then certainly the blank parchment as well, which wore out, is also not reckoned with and cannot be saved from a fire. The Gemara told us likewise, if the mokim aksav shenimchak, if the parchment was sitting under writing, under the written portion which got erased, in that case as well, this is the kedusha has already departed with the writing. The Gemara told us if the gilyonim, those margins, are attached to an existing Sefer Torah, then they as well have kedusha. The question is, if they're not part of a legitimate Sefer Torah, do they have their own kedusha? For instance, the Sefer Torah got completely erased, or the margins were cut off from a Sefer Torah. Do they have their own kedusha regarding saving from a fire or not? And we leave it unresolved. The Gemara discussed the Sifrei Minim. We have two approaches according to Rav Yosi. It's meant to cut out the shameis of Hashem and begoinis them, treat them with respect, and burn the rest of the sefer. According to Rav Tarfon, who expressed himself very, very severely and very sharply, no, one is meant to go ahead and burn the entire sefer. We had that story about this fellow who pretended to be honest and conduct his litigations with integrity, and he took bribery big time. We discussed the issue of reading ksuvim on Shabbos. We have two approaches. The Chacham and our Mishnah maintain the reason for this is an account of interference of the drasha which we were meant to attend. Therefore, Rav tells us this concern only applies during the zman of the drasha, not afterwards. The concern here is because of shtari diyotis. The Chacham wanted to call attention to the fact that one is meant to limit his reading on Shabbos so that he doesn't come to read business documents. Therefore, according to his approach, this restriction applies throughout the entire Shabbos. We continue with the Mishnah, which told us that one may go ahead and save the container of the sefer, the container of the tefillin, even if there's money present in that container. We concluded with the discussion about skinning the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. We have two shittas, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Bnei Shem Rechem Breika, only up until the chest, which is needed for the sake of the carbon. According to Rabbanon, he should go ahead and flay the entire carbon, because there's a concern there as well. We have two approaches, either we're concerned about the spoiling of the flesh, or that the carbon doesn't look like an avela.